the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're thinking about our identity as foreigners and how we become foreigners in the world. When you get the flat pack furniture, the instructions on the inside cover usually come with a list of the things that hold that flat pack furniture together. There's sometimes a list of tools that are necessary for building the sideboard or the bedside table or the desk or whatever it is. And there's, you know, you will need a hammer, a screwdriver, a spanner, and a punch bag if you want to assemble this thing together. These are the essential tools to build the flat pack furniture. This is what you're going to need for this task. And Paul says, when I came to Corinth to build a church, did I bring big words? Did I bring eloquence? Did I bring human wisdom to that task? Those were not the tools that I employed to build the church among you. I didn't reach for those things when I was building the church. You see, if you want to build the kingdom of God, human eloquence is a surplus requirement. It's not necessary. Wise or persuasive words are not essential for the toolkit. They're necessary if you want to make a name for yourself. If you want to attract people to you as an individual, if you want to impress the crowd, then yeah, great. Use big words, tell funny stories, draw them in. But if you want to build a kingdom, they're surplus to requirements. They're necessary for the traveling speaker who wants to draw a big crowd. But Paul says, I left those things behind. They're the tricks of the trade for people who go from city to city, impressing people. You see, there was a set pattern for the public speakers of Paul's day. They arrived in a big city. They praised the special features of that city. They quickly established their academic credentials. They name-dropped a few people that they were associates with. And people were in awe of them. They were trying to impress an audience. And Paul says, I'm not like those silver-tongued after-dinner speakers. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. I don't want to impress you. I don't want you to be impressed with me. I came to you in weakness, remember? With fear and trembling. That's who I was. I don't want you to be impressed with how clever I am. I want you to know God. It's not that Paul didn't have those tools. It's not that Paul was an idiot. Paul was thoroughly trained. He was educated under Gamaliel, one of the top rabbis of the day, thoroughly trained by this guy. Paul had the tools. Paul had the stuff that all the other guys had, but he left it behind when he came to Corinth. He didn't employ those resources to build the church. He deliberately used alternative tools. Think about it. If Paul builds the church on clever words, what if somebody else arrives who's just a little bit more clever? Who's a bit smarter? Has a few more letters after their name? Paul says, I don't want this church to rest on my intellect. I don't want the church to be weighed or held together by me. I don't want this church to be at the mercy of the next winner of Mastermind. I want the church to rest on, trust in God's power. Human wisdom is a fragile foundation, but God's power is eternal. From time began, God existed. Before that, God existed. And Paul says, I want the kingdom of God to rest on that, not on me, because I'm not strong enough to support that. Paul's desire is to see the people of Corinth built up in God's power. He wants them to rest and rely on the Holy Spirit, not on him. And it radically influenced the way he ministered among them. Radically influenced his approach to ministry. He didn't just jump on the bandwagon of the public speakers. Because his ambition for the people of Corinth was not that they would make him popular, not that they would make him rich, not that they would become infatuated with him, but that they would know Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he said? I want you to be fascinated with him, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This ambition for the church of Corinth shaped Paul's ministry among the people of Corinth. He ministered in a certain way that was foreign to the public speakers, foreign to the people who went from city to city trying to draw a crowd. He wanted to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the most humbling and encouraging things that can happen to those of us who are involved in leading worship on Sundays is for someone to say afterwards, God spoke to me through what you did today, what you said today, through the line of that song that we were singing today. God spoke to me. God was at work in that. Through the prayer that you prayed after the service with me, God spoke to me through that. Through that story that that person shared, that's just like my situation, and God spoke to me through that. It's one of the most humbling and encouraging things that can happen to those of us who are involved in leading worship. When someone says, you see that verse you read? I read that just this week. Or see that situation or scenario you gave about having a difficulty with a family member? That's me. I've got a problem in my family right now. Or see that situation or scenario you talked about as a work problem? Well, that's me. It's so unbelievably humbling to realize that God would give us insight into the people that are gathered here on a Sunday so that his words would speak right into your situation and circumstance. There is nothing like it. And it's in those moments that I and the rest of us on the team are so aware this is not about me. What we're doing here on a Sunday, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about him. As a staff team and leaders in a church, it's often the thing that keeps us going. Keeps us going because we realize that God is at work through what we do. And Karen, you know, as we finish up with you today and as you move on, I want to say thank you for how you've led us in that. For your dependency on the Holy Spirit, for your sensitivity to him. So many times, John or I or Rick, we get up here after singing the songs that you've prayerfully chosen and been so aware, this is not about us. This is not about us. This is about God giving us his mind so that we can lead a group of people. And it's unbelievably humbling to think, wow, God, you would do that? You would give us insight into your mind. And so your openness to the Holy Spirit has led us on a journey as a church. You've taken us to where we are now. And we want to say thank you for that. We've seen him at work in you. God at work. You're open to his leading, and we're so grateful to where we've been led in worship through what you've done. We've heard God speak as we gather for worship into our lives. And we think, wow, God, you would do that. You would give us your mind. That in a unified way, all the various elements of the service would connect together and we'd go, my goodness, it's not about me. This is not about some clever thought that I've had. This is not about some illustration that I've conjured up. This is about God revealing who he is to us as a people. And we just need to communicate it. We need to be sensitive to him. So Karen, your example has been incredible and you've been sensitive, you've been open to him. You've pushed us to rest on God's power. You've pushed us, right? You pushed us. Every challenge of your time here is worth that. To push us to rest on God's power. That's what we need as a church. Not clever words. Not talented people. Not about us. We need people who throw themselves at the mercy of God's power, and you've done that, and we are so grateful. And Paul says, the ambition of my work among you is not that you would be impressed with me, but that you would experience the power of the Holy Spirit making Jesus known. That's Paul's ambition. That Jesus would be known through his ministry. And this idea is foreign to public speakers who just go from city to city, who draw a crowd and then move on. Paul says, I am not into that. I've got no time for that. Articulate humans are a flimsy thing to rest your faith on. Won't support in a time of real difficulty. Articulate humans will evaporate along with their ideas. But God's power remains when all else fades. And so Paul says, don't rest your faith on my cleverness. Remember, I came to you in weakness, trembling, but on demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. In verse 12, Paul tells the church of Corinth what they've received as a birthday present, as a gift from God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. You're foreigners. You're foreigners. Aliens and strangers in the world. Not getting impressed with what impresses the world. Not relying on what the world relies on. That's not what you're about. You're at the mercy of the Holy Spirit's power. God wants you to understand the love that he has for him. He wants you to understand everything that he has given you. And as foreigners, you now possess a spirit within you that equips you to see things differently, to be captivated by the love that God has. We possess a different spirit from the spirit of the world outside. And the gift of the Holy Spirit ignites our worship, because it's the Holy Spirit who makes us aware of who God is and what he's done for us. The Holy Spirit ignites our worship. That's what he does. He enters into your life to open your eyes to grace, to see what you've been freely given, to help you appreciate and grasp what God has done for you freely, without cost on your part, but at great cost on his. Without Jesus, you're lost. You're hopeless. You've got no resource to face the problems and challenge of this world, but the Holy Spirit unpacks before your eyes the inheritance that is yours in Jesus Christ. He draws it out of the box and says, look what else God has won for you at the cross. Look what else Jesus has achieved for you by his death. Forgiveness. Look at this. Acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. Hope. You're part of a community and you used to be lonely. And the Holy Spirit just keeps drawing out these things to say, look what Jesus Christ's death and resurrection has secured for you. Look at this inheritance. You're forgiven. No one can fathom what God has prepared for those who love him. That's what Paul says to this church. See how the Holy Spirit ignites worship, because he draws our attention to what God has done for us. He continually applies the good news of the gospel to your life and my life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Tim Keller says, every human being must live for something. Something must capture our imagination, allegiance, and hope. But the Bible tells us that without the intervention of the Holy Spirit, that object will never be God. We need the Holy Spirit to draw our attention to God, because our hearts and our lives get captured by a thousand other things. We get impressed with other stuff. But the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to be impressed, leads us to worship God, leads us to be aware of Jesus and what he's done for us. The Holy Spirit ignites our desire for God. He grants us an appetite for him. He gives us an ability to obey Jesus, to love Jesus, to be excited about Jesus. We suffer from spiritual amnesia. We forget what God has done. We forget how much we're loved, and we get drawn off into lots of other things. But the Holy Spirit's work is to draw us back, to woo us, in a sense, to Jesus and to everything that he has secured for us, to remind us of how good the good news actually is. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He alerts us to our spiritual amnesia. He's like a reminder on our phone that says, you need to take the gospel medication. You need to take this good news into your being because you're struggling for acceptance in lots of other ways, but you've already got it. Stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to be accepted by the crowd. You're accepted by God. I don't care how many letters you have after your name, you will never be able to pull that job off. You will never be able to do the work of the Holy Spirit, no matter how many previous experiences you have or how big your words are. Paul says, I came to you in weakness because I am resourceless to build the church. I need God's power. The Holy Spirit ignites worship. He shows us what God has freely given. But his work doesn't end there, because think about who we are as a church at Carnmoney. We define ourselves and understand ourselves in three words, and those three words are worship, community, witness. Yeah, we got there. Worship, community, witness. We're a community with two passions. We're a group of people who are passionate about worship. Worship God. We love him, and our worship is directed upwards. But we are a community also who are concerned about the world that God has placed us in, and so we desire to witness. You think of the projects that are going on with CAP and MANA and our youth work, and everything else is directed outward, Alpha. So the Holy Spirit ignites our worship, and he inspires witness. He inspires us to witness. His presence within us enables us to carry the power of Jesus to the world. He enables us to bring the message of Jesus to the world outside that's lost, unforgiven, hopeless. So stop comparing yourself with other people. Stop looking to your own CV, because it's only the Holy Spirit who will enable you to be a witness. Those other things will not equip you to do that. If you are in Christ this morning, then what are you inferior to, or who are you inferior to if you are in Jesus Christ? Jonathan Dodson says this: communing with the Holy Spirit produces a vertical relationship with the Lord that has horizontal results. So when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, we worship God. We're motivated to go out and share his good news with the world around us. So we witness. We share the news that God has given us, declared to us. We share it with the world around us. See how the presence of the Holy Spirit can transform your life. You don't need to be cowardly anymore. You can be courageous and share this news, because you're not thinking about who you are. You're not thinking about who you are in comparison to other people. You can be confident because it's all about God, and you can be humble because it's all about God. So you can be confident and humble at the same time, because it's not about you. It's about his power, not yours. So you've got nothing to boast in except Jesus. See how the Holy Spirit changes and transforms your life, goes to work on you to give you a boldness before people, because you think, well, under God, who are you anyway? But gives you a compassion and a concern for those who are the least in our society. He makes sure that you're not impressed with what impresses the world. You've not received the spirit of this world. You've received the Spirit of God. Later on in the chapter, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Think about that. We have the mind of Christ. You think about Jesus standing before Pilate, not opening in his mouth, and Pilate says to him, do you not realize I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus says, you would have no power over me if it were not given you from above. You would have no power. So Jesus isn't intimidated by the bully boys. They hold no fear for him because he's aware of who God is and how powerful God is. Christian, you have that mind in you. the mind of Christ as you go into your office and feel intimidated, as you go into your family situation and feel intimidated, as you go into the hospital and feel intimidated, you're able to have the mind of Christ and say, you have no power. God has all the power. He's in charge. I don't care how many tattoos you have. Right? God's in charge. Christian, you have that mind. You have that mind that enables you to trust him at all times. Think about Jesus' words to the woman caught in adultery. Do you know when all the religious guys are lined up, the religious elite, with their stones ready just to stone her and beat her down because, well, she's done a terrible thing. And Jesus steps before these religious guys, the moral high ground people. And he says, okay, if you haven't sinned, then you throw the first stone. And one by one, they drop their stones and walk away. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. The Holy Spirit gives you the mind of Christ that enables you to draw alongside those who are the weakest in our society, who are the most vulnerable and broken and most aware of their own failure, and to extend grace to those people. No matter what the church thinks, you will face opposition in the church if you extend God's love to the weakest and most vulnerable people in our world. Everyone else will be lining up to put them away, to send them down. And the church will have a long list of reasons as to why this person should be punished or ousted or whatever else it is, and you will have the mind of Christ to go and gravitate towards that person and extend love. The Holy Spirit gives you the mind of Jesus Christ. That's the gift you have when you become a Christian. He draws us to people who are really conscious of their own failure so that they can experience the love that God has. The Holy Spirit makes us foreigners. He enables us to see things differently. To have confidence in our situation, whether it's Corinth, Kernmoney, or California, God is with you, enabling you not to be afraid, to be courageous and compassionate. That's what he does. So, he inspires worship. He ignites worship and inspires witness. The Holy Spirit ignites worship and inspires witness. As we attempt to build a church here in Kernmoney, what have you got in your toolkit? What are you bringing to the ministry that you're involved in? What are you bringing to your family situation or circumstance? What is it that you're trusting in this morning to establish the Church of Jesus Christ? What are you drawing upon? In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity just to put your hands out and to let go of the tools that you think are necessary, to let go of the stuff that you've been drawing on up until now, to say, God, the Church of Jesus Christ cannot rest on my ability, cannot rest on my eloquence, cannot rest on my resources at all. I want you to turn your hands over and let go of that stuff. Give you an opportunity to do that. And then I'm going to ask you just to turn your hands up this way and say, God, I need your help. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to apply the good news of the gospel to my life, to give me the mind of Christ for every situation that I encounter. We're going to do that now, today, and you can do that every morning this week. You can do that every morning this week just to surrender to God and ask for his help. Let's do that just now. God, we stretch out our hands, palms down, and surrender before you our own resources. We say that we don't want to lean on the weakness of our own ability. We say that our own abilities are not up to it. Our own skills, our own experience of the past is not up to the task. And we want to confess that we're sorry, Lord God, for the times that we have foolishly relied on those things and seen very little fruit or no fruit at all from our effort. And so in humility and in sincerity, we want to offer these things to you and say, help us not to look to them. Help us to let go of the stuff that we're tempted to trust in, so that our hands might be free, that we could turn our hands over, Lord God, just as we turn our palms up to you now and say, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us the mind of Christ. Help us to have courage and compassion. Fill us with your Spirit that we might worship you, that we might be a community that worships you in spirit and in truth. We open our hands and say, fill us with your Spirit, fill us with yourself, so that we might witness powerfully in this community and right across the world to who Jesus is and what he's achieved for us. May we, along with the Holy Spirit, unpack for the world the inheritance that's been achieved at the cross. May many people come to know you through the work that you do in this church. We surrender ourselves and say, we're resourceless without you. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.